Hey, look at that. Bloomingman does it.
I did it. He didn't cut the blue wire. We're going to live.
Yay.
I've got absolute big crash
right after you said that. I would have laughed so hard.
All right. So, who takes
I guess
charge?
I got it to work.
Forewarning, everyone. The inmates are running the asylum. There's no supervision. No one is at the helm.
We didn't really decide who's going to say the thing, so I can if you'd like.
Yeah, Lark, you should say the thing.
Let's go ahead.
Yeah, you're the face of Loose Screws. I mean,
we're screwed.
That's the point.
Oh, okay. Carry on then. This is episode 221. It is February 22nd, 2024.
33 million.
And this is the Loose Screws podcast. Playing the guitar, I guess. I am Commander Lark Shadow. Joining me tonight, we have Blooming Wind.
Hello, everybody.
And the ever-present Audaxius.
Oh, God, I've been upgraded to ever-present.
Congratulations.
Yep. Hello, everyone.
So we're going to start with everyone's favorite thing, and that is the talk that is small. So how was your week, Blooming?
Well, my week's been really interesting. Mrs. Blooming Wind's been having some health issues. I think I talked about them a little bit last week, but we kind of finally got some diagnoses going. So that's good. So it turns out like last week when we had our little trip to the emergency room, she had a GI bug unbeknownst to her. But the GI bug really didn't explain why she's been feeling lousy for a while. So we ended up going to a rheumatologist today. And this rheumatologist was one of my med school professors, you know, I've known him since my first year of med school in 1994. Okay. Wow. And so he's 80. He's still practicing, and the man's a freaking genius. I mean, he's like house, but not an asshole.
Hey, that's a plus.
Well, he said he's a rheumatologist, so I figure he'd be like house, right? Oh, it's like a room doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Exactly. Houses have rooms. Okay, cool. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know how like he says it's never lupus? Well, it's not lupus this time. So Mrs. Blooming Wind has this thing called Behçet's syndrome, which it's a mild thing, it's a minor thing, but it's been making her miserable. And it explains kind of several things that have been bothering her for like the last couple of years. So we're happy to hear that. We have a plan. Hopefully it gets better over time with some medicine, and you know, we're good. So that was good getting an answer. Now she's off to Oxford to visit our daughter, and she'll be there till tomorrow. So it's me and little Blooming Wind, and he was studying for and she just transferred $320 to her account. Exciting.
So,
mischief is happening.
Yeah, I heard that. But
the plot thickens.
Yeah, Mrs. Blooming Wind is up to some retail therapy down in Oxford, Mississippi right now.
What else are you going to do, huh?
Watch basketball or football. But it's not football season, so it's shopping season. So,
cha-ching.
Anyway. Yep.
I just looked up Behçet's syndrome. That does not sound fun.
No, it's not too fun.
All sorts of inflammation and like occasionally sores and tired feeling. Yep.
Yeah, she had like a couple of those little ulcers in her mouth. She gets those on occasion.
I hate those. That sucks.
My God.
Yeah, but it's like, it's kind of the wound healing thing that was kind of the big telltale. Because she has like, she was wearing, you know, like you get a blister if you wear shoes that are too tight or something.
Right.
Well, she had like a strap from her heels that was rubbing. And so, you know, she wore the heels once. She had this like little area that, you know, you would have got, I would have got. And then it just, for the last 2 weeks, hasn't really gotten better. So we're like, okay, yeah, now it all kind of fits. Mm. So, yeah.
No, that sucks. Well, my heart goes out to you and your wife.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And then, like I said, my son's studying for an AP Chem test downstairs. So I was helping him out a little bit before we got together. And so he's got a good handle on it. I'm not too worried.
Nice. But,
and that's my week away from game. And then in game, I've been just racking up some bounties and doing some BGS mischief. And I moved my fleet carrier to Kolyawa tonight because we're trying to get everything ready for our next expansion, even though we haven't finished our last expansion.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're planning ahead.
Well, we need to get those Andromeda cards to complete our deck.
So, we do got to get all the Andromeda cards, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get the rest of them. Because they're like the next nearest ones are really far away.
Oh, good grief.
So we might have to do some of that turn the dark wheel nonsense.
Ooh, don't get me started.
Like
on
launching
that.
Ourselves from place to place.
That was a year of my life.
I'm sure our neighbors will love that.
Well, if we ask nicely, they might let us rent their systems out.
Rent it out. It's a very cheap price, just a couple hundred tons tritium a month, you know.
We're good for it. Just take a deposit from the Bank of Borked and we'll go from there. So
nice.
That was my week. How was your week, Daxi?
Beautiful. Wonderful.
You're back.
Put all my mental, I rubbed my two neurons together to make an event for the CG. And then it completes in 2 days. Jesus, Frontier, get your numbers straight. They set a CG and like it topped at like 77 million. They finished it in like 30 seconds. Forget what the actual numbers were. No, we didn't get the CG event this week, but I did fly AX as an alternative, which is always a ton of fun. And I realized, man, we've got some aces. We have some real talented folks that know how to fly and know how to shoot, and it's just a joy to be able to fly with them. In real life, I am hoping and praying a time machine is invented that I can go back in time and throttle whoever invented drywall. There's a whole generation of DIY homeowners. It's like, I'm rich enough to own a house and poor enough that I can never afford anyone else to pay to work on it. So, you know, I remove a major feature of my kitchen ceiling and now there's a hole to the attic. And it's like, well, I can imagine I can pay someone else $2,000, or I can spend infinitely less and just do this for the next 2 weeks myself. So I'm just about done. Praise the Lord. I never want to touch or see the mineral gypsum ever again in my life.
Yeah, drywall's pretty annoying.
I get it. It's cost effective. It's convenient. It's a matter of like, God in heaven, like, why did I choose to do this? Yeah. But yeah, I feel weirdly enough, you know, I will always give the disclaimer in this economy and specifically in my housing market, I will always be thankful that I can own a home. I will just bang my head against that home's walls when I have to work on it a bunch.
Did you get yourself a pair of those stilts that you stand on while you're doing uppers?
No, that's like next level stuff. I do have all the tools and stuff. And as much as I gripe about it, I have actually bought and flipped a home before and done all the renovations myself. So it's things I can do, things I don't necessarily enjoy. So it's just everyone has a threshold for that stuff. And mine is probably about 2 weeks, you know, sanding drywall.
Nice.
If you have a hole in your ceiling, how do you put the drywall in the hole and then have it stay there before you put all the spackling and stuff across
it? Super easy. If you have a stud, you screw it in. And then if there's I'll talk about this as little as possible and then we'll get to the game, I swear. And then if there's a stud, you just screw it into the stud. If there's only drywall surrounding it, you can create a brace that screws into that drywall. It is very straightforward, very convenient stuff. The only source of my headache is the volume of it in my life in aggregate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's been my week, and it's been good. So yeah, Mr. Shadow, what about you?
My life in real life has actually been kind of boring lately. I've just been working my brains out and taking care of a lot of like adulting things, like doctor stuff. I had a scare with my potassium this last week.
Ooh.
Ate too many bananas?
No, too few, it turns out. So something you don't know about me, I have high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a genetic thing. I'm sure gaining a bit of weight over the years hasn't helped, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it's also a genetic thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I've been on a diuretic-style blood pressure medication for probably 6 years, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out when you're on that particular type of a medication for your blood pressure that long, it just very slowly flushes potassium and magnesium from your system. And I've learned more about these two minerals and how it interacts with your body in the last week than I ever cared to know. But it turns out those two electrolytes are vital for muscles, you know, functioning and stuff, which includes your heart.
Yeah, it's optional.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I guess normal potassium levels are between like 3.5 and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And mine were at 2.9.
Ooh, that's too low.
Yeah, and I guess at 2.5, your heart could literally just, you know, check out. Like, bye, have a nice time.
Yeah, if you get below, you know, 3.5, you start beginning to have extra beats and things like that. And when it gets really low below 3, you start having runs of arrhythmias, and it can get pretty scary. So
yeah, and it explains a lot of weird things that actually had been happening with my muscles, my energy. My heart had been having not arrhythmias, but little like stutters, mm-hmm. Just in the past couple of years, and that never happened before. And so it's just a whole thing. So over the weekend, they put me on prescription potassium, and it was like 4,000 milligrams in one dose.
Please say it's just a block. You just like bite pieces off.
I wish. It would have been easier than the size of those pills, man. And then I had my labs on Monday, and I have a follow-up appointment tomorrow. And as long as the line is pointing up again, my doctor will be satisfied. If it's level or pointing down still, then more drastic things are probably going to have to happen, and I'm not going to like them.
Yeah. How long have you been on potassium, did you say?
They just gave me the one like mega dose, and I took it on Saturday. And it was like freaking two pills, and each of them was like 2,000 milligrams. And they're just like, here, eat this or swallow it if you can.
I can hear the doctor gears in Blooming Wind's mind churning.
I know.
Yeah. The gears are turning. Yeah.
Is he going to start charging us?
I'm not going to start charging you. The lower your potassium is, the longer it takes for you to get that potassium up. So
yeah. And I have been trying to eat better as well, because for the past year or so, I've been eating like crap just because it's cheap and easy.
Yeah. And they stopped the hydrochlorothiazide.
They did. They switched me to a different blood pressure med that is basically doing the same thing, and I literally feel no difference as far as like how it makes me feel. But since that big dose of potassium, like lately, I have had more energy. I'm still like tired at the end of the day, but it's a normal like, well, I just worked my butt off today type tired, instead of I'm dying. So
yeah.
So that's a good thing. I think it's working, mm-hmm. but we'll find out tomorrow.
Yep. All right, well, keep me posted.
It's Word. Health chat. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, it's only my heart. It's not a big deal.
It's health chat. Yeah, I feel I should contribute. I'm like, guys, I got, you know, me too. I got this weird growth. Can I send you guys a picture?
Depends on where it is.
Yeah, it's probably going to be right. Goatee, so I'm going to say no.
Oh, God in heaven. I wish I didn't know what that meant. Anyway, where are we at? Okay.
So moving on, we are going to do a squad update. And that's where hopefully sound will be inserted. If not, take it, Blooming Wind.
All righty. So we have another war in Kalarum against After Dark Initiative. We are staying out of Kalarum. And just get your free popcorn from and Snooki Zion and watch. We have an election going on in, where's our election going? We have an election going on somewhere. But we're winning 1-0. So just keep.
Last voting. I heard it was 2-0, but
it was 2-0. It must have gone up. Yeah. Cause it didn't trigger in Inara, which is highly unreliable. We're expanding out of Kama, and we still haven't popped yet. So any day now we'll be landing in 5 Andromeda. And then you know, we're trying to raise our influence in Copian Zing, Kalpitak, and BD plus 671409. So if you've got bounties, you want to do missions, those are great places to do it. Copian Zing is a weird system. We talked about it last week. There's only one asset there. So even though we're in fifth place, we could just work our way to the top without having any conflicts until we get to the lead faction. And then we have multiple systems that are smoldering. LP 27-9 is the front runner, which is out of nowhere. So something's afoot there. And then our Mining Mondays and Tharg's Day Thursdays continue. So that's the squad update. If you want regular daily details, they're in Standing Orders channel or the Loose Screws faction channels. And any questions you have, if you have questions about wanting to be of service, we can tell you what to do in the Loose Screws factions channel of the Discord. That, as we say, is that.
Nice. All right. So moving on, there was a Galnet update yesterday, actually.
Hooray!
The short version is President-elect Winters has a sad.
Yeah.
The longer version is, it turns out her home planet had some suspiciously timed, if you ask me, but fortuitous for Hudson, natural events happen where there was major earthquakes across the entire world. Which, if you're living on a world like that and the world does that, that's generally a sign that the world is saying, get off. I'm just saying. But because of all of the cities that have collapsed and injured and dead and whatnot, President-elect Winters has gone home for a while, putting off the, I want to say coronation, but I know that's the wrong word.
Inauguration.
Putting off the inauguration of her presidency, Kager. Which means Hudson is still president for a little bit longer, and everybody else is sad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Until update 19.
Probably. I just wish they were like, you know what? Screw it. In game lore, whatever. Felicia Winters is going home until update 19. That's it.
Yeah, if they came out and actually said that, I'd actually respect them more.
In the game,
that makes sense that it'd have to wait for Power 2.0. Uh-huh. That's right.
Earthquakes. Yeah, earthquakes. How convenient.
Yep. But either way, it at least puts the presidential inauguration in a holding pattern, mm-hmm. at least for a while.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to go assassinate Hudson to speed things along, feel free. I'm sure Loose Screws would give you a large donation if you did that. I'm just putting that out there.
We're worth billions.
Yes.
I will fill your fleet carrier with tritium if you can put down Hudson.
Artisanal tritium.
Dude, I bet
you. Artisanal tritium.
I bet you if we pooled wallets, I bet you we'd pop a trillion.
I think we would.
I bet you.
Just have some Gengar pop into this system and take out Spaceball 1 and then F off into the dark black again.
That what's funny, that might be a fun exercise. Just post your... Okay, Chad, let's do it. In Chig Chat, post your account balance and let's see how fastly we can cross the trillion credit mark.
That's actually a good Chig Chat. I like that.
That's just going to be borked. On a couple Tuesdays. Yeah, I'm okay. There you go.
Bork and tracks.
I bet you we can do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Account balances in Chig Chat. Let's add them up. Let's see if we can cross a trillion.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Yeah.
And that is the most recent Galnet update. And actual developer news, next Monday, the 26th, update 18 is rolling out. And we all get to fire torpedoes at something and see something happen with something else.
Yeah. I can't get over the fact that it's actual heat vents on the Titan.
I love that so much. I don't even care that it's a reused mechanic.
It's not that it's a reused mechanic. It's that on this show, that joke was made specifically, and I swear it was about a year ago. I don't know how I remember it, but someone made a joke about heat vents on Titans and like that being the mechanic, and we all laughed. Oh, we laughed so hard.
Sounds like a chick or a tracks joke.
Then it came true. And I get it. I'm not going to get salty about the recycled mechanics. I get the reduced manpower and all that stuff, but it just was a bit of foreshadowing that I thought was funny. It played out that long afterward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So with that said, let's get some tinfoil out there.
Oh boy.
Do you think we're actually going to be able to destroy a few before others retreat? Do you think it's going to force the ones to retreat in the biggest witch space portal we've ever seen? Are we going to break the custard pot, as Psykit said on Lave Radio? What do you guys think?
I think they've crunched the numbers on the war and they've tweaked things. So I think they've got, whoever's got their hands on the knobs, they've got data. I would assume that they would make it, if they're aiming to wrap up the war, they would look at the player engagement and they would calculate that we could basically only do like one a week. I'm assuming it's tied to the weekly tick, like all the other system counters are, as far as invasions or alerts. And
yeah,
I would guess that it would take all of us. Yeah. All of us throwing at one of them for a week, because then it would still take 2 months. And if they're trying to wrap things up, that seems like a reasonable time frame. So I'm going to throw in my chips. It'll take about a week of everyone concerted effort.
To get one of them?
Yeah, to get one of them.
I actually like that, because let's say, just for kicks and giggles, that it does take 2 months to clear them all out and either destroy or dormantize them and kill them so they're just now in orbit and a fun feature you can visit, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's say it does go that route. Well, 2 months later puts us well into spring. Which means at that point, the next update actually wouldn't be that far away by that point.
Mm-hmm. And they've already got the asset. If they want to make it crash into a planet, they just go in and plug in a Thargoid surface site. I mean, that's what those ships are. They came out and said that. So if that was their fate, they can plug that in game easy.
I still love the fact that when they actually confirmed that to all of the partners, they were like, wait, you guys didn't know that? And everyone was like, well, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. What do you think, Blooming?
No, I mean, I was wondering that they might do something along the lines of a community goal, and that way that you would be trying, because they said something about wanting to hit all 8 at once. And so,
who's there? Was that in the Gauntlet article, or
I want to say it was during the podcast when they had their when they had the Frameshift Lives reboot. I thought someone was saying something about or it might have been a Gauntlet article where Palin was talking about that, you know, that with these new torpedoes that they want to hit all 8 of them at once. So I'm not sure if they're going to make an event after going after all 8 of them at once and kind of have it be a...
They could.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah. Because like, they have the percent tickers for the different systems. Like, you can tap into the Defense Council of Humanity and they're tracking all the different measuring sticks. And so they'll probably have like a measuring stick for the Titans that if you go through so many cycles of blowing up their heat things, eventually... it shuts one down.
Yeah.
And then, so it might be a quasi community goal with like hit all 8 at once, but are there enough pilots who can get into the Maelstra to hit all 8 at once enough times to shut all 8 down?
That's the real question, because like I would count myself as like, I'd say a competent AX pilot. I've soloed a Cyclops once. I know all the mechanics and stuff, but I prefer just doing it in a group, so I don't do it that often. But I don't even have the caustic launcher, the shield. Never bothered. I don't have any of that.
Or they go the way they've gone with other community goals, where you can participate from multiple angles. So one of the metrics is, I don't know, bio waste deliveries or something. there's a cargo delivery component, there's some other kind of component, and they all contribute like in aggregate.
Yeah, it's just I don't have a way into the Maelstrom. I never made a Grellick, and so I haven't done any of the going to the Maelstrom stuff yet.
Well, if AXI's track record is any indication of their capacity to throw sheer man hours or something, they probably could handle that all on their own.
Yeah.
It'll probably be Tyrannus will be the first to fall then.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, just because that was the first one, and so that's the one that has their attention for the most part.
That's what I'm betting on.
Yeah, I would love to see them retreat to some sort of locked space that gets unlocked. Oh,
the coal sector. I hope so.
Yeah.
That's been locked since, I mean, it was open, God, early days of the game. Was that 2016, 2017? And a few explorers went out there and then they locked it. I would love if this was a semi-recurring thing that you would get another like, I refuse to call them Stargoids. I thought that name was so dumb. But in like shooting through interstellar space and like coming out again, it's like, oh, shoot, here comes another one. Uh-huh. And it's like them lobbing volleys or like lobbing pot shots from far away. And every couple months, another one crops up again. I think that would be cool. Because
I could actually see that.
Yeah, it seems like that Rior, if they can get the mechanics of the Thargoid War with power play, then we get to have this kind of fun basically indefinitely. Really reshaping the bubble actively and making power play something, thank God, something other than this obsolete way of getting weapons and muscle. And then if that was spiced up by Titans showing up right now and again, it's like they've kind of handed us a sandbox that's going to last for a long time. I mean, I really could see this adding years of lifetime to Elite in a way that doesn't grow stale because it's dependent on us and not their man hours and developer hours at Frontier.
And to help your Cole 70 point sector, like those locked systems, they're actually really not that far away from the bubble. Yeah. So it's
what
one
is
of those
it?
Things
it like 2,000
that,
light years?
If that. It, so yeah. If the Titans did retreat, like even deep-ish into there, mm-hmm. as long as one or two of them stayed not as deep into the Cole 70 sector, their own air quote power play via the Thargoid mm-hmm. war mechanics would eventually get back to the bubble if left unchecked.
It's not update 20. The Thargoids invade Beagle Point. And they're spreading week by week. And it's going to take them 37,000 years to reach the bubble.
And you know what we haven't talked about with this? When we talk about the Thargoids and we're talking about that, you know, we're going to be able to beat this and all of that. You know what we haven't talked about? The Guardians.
Salvation.
So, yeah. Salvation. So,
somewhere
is that
the
just
hair
a... Is that just a red herring? Is that just like a, you know, storyline that goes nowhere? Or do we really think that Guardian nonsense is going to be activated?
I don't think it's a red herring, and I have some heavy tinfoil on this.
Somewhere in the universe, the hairs on the back of Trax's necks are standing on end.
So my theory is that, so the torpedoes, okay, they have Guardian nanites in them, right?
What could go wrong?
My theory is that they're able to not take out, but seriously infect and disable maybe one or two of the maelstroms, right? And so the Titans, the remaining Titans that haven't been hit yet, retreat because they're like, well, if that, I don't want any of that noise, you know? And going off of the fact that HIP 22460 is still a thing, what if those Titans then begin to glow blue and Salvation starts speaking out of them?
Ooh. Show me what you got. Sorry.
And, the first thing Salvation says is, Psykits, I'm looking at you.
That would be awesome.
I had this feeling, especially because the uniqueness of that mechanic of combining the Guardian Relic at the Thargoid surface site, I had a feeling that was part of a bigger plan that potentially had to get sidelined or not fleshed out fully. I'm holding out hope for a Hail Mary that comes around at the end with something with Salvation. It just felt like they had a big push with the whole Thargoid War in general. That was part of the process that went into it, but then they had to kind of dial things back as it went on. So I hope I'm wrong, and I really hope that something gets wrapped in.
Yeah, I still think that was Salvation just
that's just
it.
Such a specific mechanic to take the Guardian Relic and have the Thargoid site do something to it. And that's, I think, to my knowledge, that's been the last of the Guardian connections in quite some time, if since then. So I hope that thread finally gets wrapped up.
Yeah, we end up with a Cole 70 sector that's Salvation and his couple of hijacked Titans versus the Thargoids and their Titans.
I mean, we haven't heard from Seo Jhene in what, like months?
You know, that's
been a little while.
Does anyone know what happened to her?
So last I heard, And this is from just listening to Lave Radio today that reminded me of this. Sal Genet went to Pranav Antal, okay, the space hippies. And she plugged herself into the dreamer memory bank just to see what she would see. And apparently she came out of that very shocked, like very quiet, just like she clearly saw something she didn't like in there, right? Mm-hmm. And shortly after that is when she just effed off into the black, and no one's really heard from her since. All we know is that she was going after salvation, whatever that means.
It was just a dream of Frontier's financial portfolio. I'm sorry, Frontier. That joke was mean. I'm sorry.
No,
we love you. Buy ARCs. We love you.
But that does beg the question, what did she see in there?
Kind of good writing on their end, because it's vague enough that they could take it in a couple different directions.
It really is.
Yeah. I think that's tactfully or specifically open-ended. Yeah. I don't know. The head story guy, he was one of the guys that was made redundant.
He was
a big bummer, because I don't know if it was ever clarified if that's just off the table for now or in a holding pattern or what, but I'm sure that whoever was responsible now has some notes or at least some theme laid out, because at least the one thing that's been going for it is, even though the pace has been slow, the story hasn't felt like it's jumped around too much or changed hands too much. There has been a somewhat consistent, albeit applauding, theme. And, I mean, ARF came out and said they want to wrap it up. I was slightly surprised, because I thought that they would keep this going, this having been something that created the most player engagement in a long time. But then when they announced PowerPlay 2.0, I was like, oh, they get to take these mechanics.
Yeah, same way. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, that's weird that they want to wrap that up. And then they announced PowerPlay 2.0, and then either late this year or early next, the brand new mechanic coming. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, they got some bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Well, they know better.
And I think also, I mean, as cool as the Thargoid War has been, I mean, we have these Maelstra smack right on our frontier, you know, and so it has stymied our BGS to some degree, in the sense of, I mean, I love having Thargoids a few jumps away, and I could just go and, you know, shoot Thargoids with my friends, and, you know, that's always a good time, but also that is our path for expansion. And there's like a big freaking maelstrom and a whole bunch of systems we can't really expand into, because the Thargoid War has locked it. And so, you know, when they say that they wanted to move to the next phase of that war and wrap things up, I don't think it's going to be like an armistice. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, that, as you guys said, it's going to retreat. It, you know, there's going to be,
yeah, we're going to move the war to a different front.
Yes. So, and then that'll allow us to continue with, you know, PowerPoint 2.0 and all the other shenanigans.
It'd be kind of cool if after whenever the conclusion is all eight of them are gone, they don't make an announcement, but someone just discovers in the Cole 70 sector that now all of those systems that were permit locked are now the green of the Thargoid occupied. That would be cool.
Yeah.
You just log in and they're all just like, lit the hell up.
That, yeah, it's like a bunch of like maelstrom symbols.
I can imagine the images being posted to like Canon and Loose Screws and Burr Pit, and just like all the Discords lighting up like a freaking nuke went off.
I mean, it'd be like, yeah, and if this is obviously just speculation, but kind of cool, like if that type of anti-Xeno combat, like that combined, the dynamic of an expedition, you had to like plan for it and like have a bunch of carriers jump out there to like bring the war to them. It'd be, I don't know, just the logistics of travel in the galaxy are as such that they could make that pretty interesting on its own.
Well, let's take that a step further. Like, think of the Thargoid war mechanic, obviously, but now think, oh, well, those are all Thargoid controlled systems. That means if you go in there, you're going to get intercepted by scythes and glaives and hydras and what have you every time you try and jump.
Mm-hmm. sure as hell make exploring a lot more fun.
Right.
I would love that, man.
Everybody's got their 15 jump light year jump rage chief in there, like, I got it.
Or have a DBX outfitted to like tangle or run away from a glaive. Like that's the one thing is that exploration is at the end of the day, all said and done, when the game is wrapped up, I'd say that exploration was probably the strongest of all the maybe not the game loops, but like the just how the game was set up to deliver an experience. Exploration is one of the best, but it can be somewhat predictable. And I'm like, oof, how cool if you were going to tangle with a hunter when you're out trying to scan planets. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Need to get yourself a DBAX, eh?
Get out of here, ban him. You're banned, Lark. Yeah.
I mean, but it also creates an opportunity for more expansion of humans into other areas of space. Yeah. Because if they take the Col 70 sector, we're going to want to have a buffer. We're going to want to have a front, you know, so more star bases, more ports, more, you know, just on the fringe of that territory.
Isn't the Colsac out that direction?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, the there's human systems out there. They've done some things there before.
Yeah.
Just for kicks, can you imagine? Let's just think like from like a in character wise in game. How much cheaper must a planet settlement be than putting an outpost in another station in another system? I'm just floating that out there. Just like a new outpost. Well,
if the new feature is base building, we're going to find out exactly how much it costs.
Yeah, the answer is going to be lots.
Yeah, they're gonna take an average. They'll just average out all the player accounts credit balance, and Borked is going to so skew the average up. They're going to set the settlement price in like the billions just to be able to build one. We're all going to be screwed.
But I would love something to spend billions of credits on.
Oh, please.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm sitting on 18 billion credits.
Dude, and I wanted a few Odyssey mats, and I set the buy price to all of them. And I'm like, I had a buy order for almost half a billion just to have something to spend my money on and make other players rich. I'm like, we've got the money. Just give us the means. So, I've got every finger crossed that it's base building.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. That would be fun stuff.
Yep, so man can dream. A man can dream.
So, there's been some scuttlebutt on the Facebook Elite groups, and about when do people are speculating when are they going to see the first new ship?
Today, I learned there is Facebook Elite groups.
Yeah, there are Facebook Elite groups. That's the only useful thing out of Facebook.
The comment sections are always griping about the fact that consoles were canceled still.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of annoying.
It's Facebook that tracks.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I bought a PC. You all need to buy a PC and get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's funny.
What was the thing you said again? I'm sorry, Blooming Wind.
So the question is when are we going to be strapping into our first new ship?
I think.
K-19.
And this is just me freaking spitballing. I think they're sneaking the new Python in on Monday.
Oh, that's ambitious.
You do.
That's ambitious.
I think the prototype art we saw was art that was probably made a year and a half to 2 years ago, and they're just now ready to start putting it in.
Mm.
And I think the other three are done as well. They're just, let's get the community goals or whatever they... whatever thing they need to actually get it in the game. But I don't think it'll be available on Monday, but I think it will go in on Monday.
So the code's going to be there Monday.
That's what I believe. And that either that Thursday or the next, a CG will launch from Falcon to Lacey, or maybe even Zorg and Peterson, like, hey, let's do this. Let's go.
Isn't that how those ship models for the Panther Clipper or the Mamba Light were found in the game? I saw a video of someone who had the Panther Clipper like white box on their ship. Obviously it was hacked or whatever.
Frick, I hate those freaking code. Drives me nuts.
That's why I'm like, I would hope they would not put it in the code unless it's actually fully released, so someone can't data mine it and then be like, hey guys, look what I found.
Well, yeah. The point is, I think it actually will be in the game on Monday, but I don't think whatever in character limit, be it a CG or what have you, we need to do to unlock it is going to happen until the following Thursday or maybe even the next week.
That's bold, man. I would say I'm saying 19.
Yeah, I'm taking my shot. Okay. It happens Monday.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Bloomy? Yeah.
I was going to split that baby in half. I mean, I was going to say...
All right, King Solomon.
Yeah, not... not, I mean, that it wouldn't be released, you know, with the 18 update. You know, I mean, sure, maybe the code's there. Maybe they'll patch it, whatever. But I do think that they would do a community goal somewhere between now and update 19. So I figured it was going to be sometime, you know, after now.
Right. I could see that being the, like, honestly, if I have to have a number two, it'll be like 18.1. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, but, I mean, you've got this whole Thargoid War thing, and it's like, oh, it's going to be at its culmination. Oh, want to get a new ship? Squirrel. I mean, I just don't see them going squirrel.
Well, we have to go in there with... Well, we have to go in there with torpedoes, and we don't know how many torpedoes it's going to take, and we also don't know if the new Python has three or four large hardpoints, because we know the current Python has three, but you can see three, what looks like hardpoints on the concept art across the top, which begs the question, is the one underneath the nose still there? Because if it is, that's four freaking large hardpoints. That's a lot of torpedoes. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And hopefully two medium hardpoints for lasers.
Yeah, in the concept art, the mediums are there as well, yes.
They've done enough in Galnet with ship manufacturers. You know for sure there's going to be an article announcing it, or at least teasing it.
Yeah, watch, there's like five different Galnet updates on that Monday.
Could be.
Hopefully. But yeah, that's my shot. I'm saying Monday. We'll see what happens.
They got a taste of our appetite. I bet you the day of or the day after that Frameshift Live, I bet you ARC sales spiked. I bet your player login spiked. So they're tracking numbers heavily, and we know it because of this whole debacle with their games, like the Age of Sigmar game and everything tanking. They are watching the cash cows they have. They have on a very tight leash, and you know that they saw those spikes, and you know that the player numbers are up overall, and they haven't just tanked and dropped off again. So I think they whet our appetite, and I'm thinking they're not going to wait too long to let that enthusiasm. I would hope, again, fingers crossed, I'm running out of fingers to cross, that they wouldn't let the enthusiasm wane too much, because they saw that we're ready for it. And I think that I hope they just strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. Well,
you hear that, Frontier?
Dude, I mean, I bought my arcs.
I bought my arcs, man. Arcs twice because the transaction glitched, and I was like, you know what? Shit, they can have my money. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to look it up, but I looked at the at least Steam charts for Elite. And it went up like 2,000 or 3,000 a day as far as how many people were online. And it was averaging like 5,000 a day, up from like 2,500 or 2,000.
Dude, those were dark times, man. Years from now, when it's PowerPlay 2.0 and the bubble is this big, dynamic, riling war, we'll be like, I was there 3,000 years ago when Odyssey was released and everyone left the game. It's been dark times, man, but it's like they had to have these growing pains as a company to try to branch out and make some mistakes and start to refocus. And they know that they have got us. Like, we are eventually, you're going to become a shill in your own kind of way. And they know they've got us. Like, nothing else quite scratches the itch. And we've had games like Starfield come out, and I went big on Starfield, but it's not the same at all. They know they've got that. that corner of the market, which is the Galaxy model, the flight model, and the and even though the graphics engine is old, it's like at a certain point we're not going to care. Like, it's good enough, and there's other reasons why we stick around, and they know that we are reliably here. Even if we're not their biggest money earner, it's something, and they know that the value of that. So I just I'll keep saying how happy I am, because I was really worried about the direction it was going to go. So
I'm looking at the Steam charts as of 37 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, it's getting into night now on a Thursday. There was 2,465 people online. In the last 24 hours, it was 4,000.
Great.
And in the last 30 days, it's been averaging 5,240 a day.
Perfect. That's great for a healthy game. We don't need to be whatever.
Indeed.
We don't need to be Baldur's Gate 3 or whatever the hell is popular these days. I sound like an old man.
We don't need to be
Pac-Man or Pong, you know. We're just playing Elite.
Sorry, old man yells at Nebula.
Yeah. McCall.
So anyways, that's all corner? I got for tonight. How about you guys?
Community Corner?
Community Corner?
Yes.
I did not have that pulled up. Where's the Community Corner?
Community Corner, Canon, the science gurus. We are activating. Yeah. They're activating all 40 Guardian beacons at the same time. I thought that already happened, or has that not happened yet?
It hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Well,
do they have a date on when they're doing it?
Oh, I'm sure they do, huh? Listen to us. On-air production meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Clark, you want to pull up the date on that? And then a big heartfelt, warm congratulations and happy birthday to our sister podcast from across the pond, Lave Radio. They are 11 years old.
Yay!
They are as old as the game, I think.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, if not as old. So they are not nearly as old as Nurgle, but they have been around for a while. Happy birthday, Lave Radio, and all the wonderful content from across the pond that we do our best to understand as Americans. We love it.
That we do.
Two nations separated by a common language.
Ain't it the truth?
I also want to point out that this last week, Deuteri's Elite had another update as well.
Yes.
Where he's going through and trying to explain to people not only how to play the game, but how to have fun in the game.
My
which I think is the most important part.
Favorite Elite guides of all time. All
as
time.
They are mine. This one, he covered passenger missions,
mm-hmm.
which I have a soft spot for in my heart, because passenger missions mm-hmm. are the only reason I could afford a keelback, because they paid so dang well.
And the reason why content creators like Deuteri get my support is he went out of his way in the video to mention the Rubigo runs and to mention that he's not talking about them because that's repetitive, unfun content. His whole point with passenger missions is that you can enjoy yourself. I said, hallelujah. Get the min-maxing out of here. Okay, fine. If that's your deal, whatever. But don't insist that that's the way to do it. Just go and have fun. So big props to Commander Deuteri on YouTube.
And now, did he mention...
Sorry, go ahead.
Did he mention how to terrify and terrorize your passengers as a way of getting negative influence for BGS?
He did not.
He did not. Yeah,
because okay, that's fun.
As long as you're going to be a psycho, as long as you're going to be a psychopath, why don't you tell our audience how to do it?
Yeah. So basically, what you do is if you're trying to drop a faction's influence, you load up on a whole bunch of passenger missions for that faction, and then you leave the station with the passengers, turn off your shields, and then just scrape your ship against the station until they start saying, let me off, I want to get off, and then they all cancel your missions with them, and then once you've mm-hmm. done that, you can show them the door.
And, goodness, we are lunatics when it comes to BGS.
and that influence just craters.
It is incredibly effective. I hate that I know this. I have a type 7 named One Way Tours with Audaxias.
One Way Tours.
I turned the dark wheel for like a year, and that whole thing was BGS and mainly taking influence. So I hate to admit I've done my fair share of that.
Yeah.
I have fortunately never done that. I can't bring myself to. It's just not something I think my commander would do.
I couldn't do it anymore either.
but that aside, I want to mention, as far as passenger missions go, there are a lot of really, really cool things that are just in the bubble that you would never know about unless you took that one random passenger mission. Check the missions, because there are ones to Colonia. And it takes you to just some really cool thing that just exists right here in populated space that you never would have known existed otherwise. So if you're ever bored, hop yourself in a dolphin or be a lunatic like me and throw a couple passenger things on your T10 and get out there and find something cool.
And if you're a newer player or you have any engineering goals and the whole material farming doesn't really suit you, in invasion systems or alert systems, evacuation missions, which are passenger missions with an anti-xeno flare, the rewards are insane. You can fill up on biotech conductors or the modified embedded firmware. And you load up like a ship that's well armored, because you're going to get interdicted. You could get interdicted by hunters, so you do need to be able to last long enough to get away. And a bunch of economy passenger cabins, and you're typically never more than 4 or 5 jumps at most from a rescue ship. And you can seriously fill up on grade 5 mats and trade down, and you're really getting all the rewards of high level anti-xeno missions without having to do the combat. So as long as you're set up to run and deal with a few hunter interdictions, you can really clean house with materials. So don't bang your head against the wall with material grinding or farming or any of that. If you want a little bit of engagement in the war that does help against invasion systems and rewards you heavily, go do the anti-xeno rescue personnel missions.
I second that. They are quite fun.
They're fun and rewarding.
And occasionally you'll run into a ganker on your way docking at the rescue station.
Oh yeah, so, I haven't seen one in a while.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started on PC, I made a couple of friends in Corvettes who decided to attack my completely unarmed Python. And I was like, that's not very nice. You know, great. We're in a war, you know.
Always fly strapped so you don't get clapped.
Yeah, I know that for sure. But I mean, even if I was strapped in my Python, I was trying to get those extra light years. Yeah. I saved myself one jump because I was doing it with no fuel scoop. Because I wanted to get the extra gutsy passengers. Oh yeah,
that's gutsy. Yeah.
So I had it built to be able to go from point A to point B, but I was like, oh, I got to get rid of my guns in order to do that, because they're like these oversized, overcharged, overweight. You know, and I was like,
NX guns are not light.
No,
the anti xeno ganker is a particular breed of despicable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, short but sweet. Right. So who's going to do the TefBot?
TefBot has day off.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like doing the voice because I'm tired.
I could do the DaxBot. Okay.
Do the DaxBot.
If you want to join the Discord, go to discord.com/Discord. Go to the internet and search for Loose Screws Discord. Join us in general chat. We have merch at loosescrewsed.com. We have a Patreon. Please feel free to contribute for this quality internet elite dangerous content. We love you. If I knew what love was, I would do it. And come join us online and listen to the podcast in whatever format of your choosing you like. I love you. Bye bye.
That was weird.
That was beautiful, man.
I got a toy with his knobs. I don't think he's programmed right. He didn't even know what the Discord link was.
Could he be worse than the Google AI?
Oh, good Lord.
I'll screw with the knobs. I'll screw with his programming. I think his algorithm is off. Sorry for that.
Well, for myself, Commander Blooming Wind and Commander Audaxius, this is the Loose Screws podcast, and of all the podcasts of all time, this is also one. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Amen.
Good night.
Bye.